Welcome to the UTG podcast, and today we're going to do something slightly different because we're going to introduce a new host. So welcome, Joel.
Thanks for the introduction. It's good to be here.
So Joel, your first series of podcast is going to be on the subject of leadership, and I think that's really an important subject because the world that we live in has a way of looking at leadership. The scriptures has a way of looking at it, and it's important that as Christians we take our lead from the Bible and not the world.
Yeah, totally. So whether it's at work, whether it's at home, or whether it's in our local church, we're all affected by leadership. Yeah. And on the basis of that, it needs to be taught well as to what good leadership looks like based on the Bible.
So you did a little series with Jeremy Holyfield from Wales?
Yes, you can call it little, but it took ages to record, but it was worth every second.
Yeah, that wasn't meant to be a patronizing little. It was just like, it's four episodes, isn't it?
Yes.
So just to introduce, first of all, maybe yourself, tell us who you are.
Yeah, so my name's Joel Lacey. I live in Bicester with my wife, Jacqueline. We've been married for 4 years, and so I've been based in Bicester for 4 years. Before that, I was in rugby for about 10 or so years, and prior to that, I was in Birmingham, where I was born. I was saved at the age of six, baptised at the age of 12, and then I came into fellowship with the Assembly in rugby. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Excellent. Well, I think I'm really looking forward to listening to your conversation with Jeremy. So over to you.
Hi, and welcome to another episode from the UTG podcast. I'm joined by Jeremy Holyfield, and we're going to be discussing the topic of leadership as it is found in the Bible. Over this four-part series, we'll be considering the call of a leader, the character of a leader, the conviction and challenges of a leader, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ and how he demonstrated and demonstrates leadership. So, Jeremy, perhaps you can just introduce yourself.
Thanks very much for this opportunity to be in conversation with you, Joel, and welcome to Derry, a small former mining village in the valleys of South Wales, 25 miles north of Cardiff. I was born and bred here. I live in the house next door to the one I was born in, so I haven't gone very far in life. My wife is Helen, of 34 years in a couple of months. We have four children, all of whom are adult, all saved and baptized by the grace of God. And we have four grandchildren, and all live within the confines of the village here. So we are blessed to have our family around us. Insofar as career is concerned, I trained many years ago as a quantity surveyor in Nottingham and worked in construction throughout my career and kind of morphed into project management now more than pure quantity surveying. I work in the National Health Service presently. Insofar as church life is concerned, the assembly that I'm in fellowship with here in Derry is seven in number, but we feel that we serve a purpose, being in the village and in determining what is the will of God for us. We hope that we are usefully engaged in his service.
Well, it's a good job we're in the mining village of Derry. I'm looking forward to digging deep into the topic of leadership with you. So in this first episode, Jeremy, we're going to be considering the call of a leader. So perhaps we can just hand over to you at this point just to introduce the topic.
Yeah, I was interested in the characters that you offered up for consideration, Joel, to focus in upon leadership. There are many in the Word of God that would spring to mind as great examples of leadership in different ways. But the ones that you've suggested, I think, would be fairly close to the top of people's lists. Moses is the first one that you suggested under the heading of call of a leader. And we were focusing our thoughts around the experience of Moses at the burning bush when he had that interaction with the Lord, who in Exodus chapter 3 says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." Now, whenever we focus upon any of the leaders in the Word of God, I think we are all struck by how very gracious of God to pick us up and utilize us in his service. God has never had an embarrassment of riches to work with albeit. And when we read now and again of some of these commissions being placed upon men, there are one or two who showed a little reluctance in becoming that man that God would have them be, play that role that he wanted of them. And Moses was such a man. There at the burning bush, he did express a little reluctance. So I would say that one of the traits of a leader of God's people is that there must be a desire to fulfill that role. I think Paul picks up on that, doesn't he, when he writes to Timothy all those centuries after. And he speaks of, if a man desire the office of a bishop, there has to be that willingness to engage in that service for the Lord. Peter will endorse Paul's thought, and he will say that the overseer should be in position, not by constraint, but willingly, in his first epistle and chapter number 5. So I do think that a leader must have a certain degree of willingness to engage.
It's interesting, Moses, because it seemed that when he was a younger man in Egypt, he expressed the desire to be a leader, but when he was older and having been in the wilderness, perhaps not so much.
I think that's a fair assessment of his life history. And when we are at the burning bush, I'm sure that our listener will be aware of the fact that we are two-thirds the way through the life of Moses at that point in time. And the incident that you refer to, where he did initially show great desire to be that leader, was when he viewed the oppression of the children of Israel in Egypt. And he, knowing his roots, though he be brought up in the household of Pharaoh, he had an empathy with them and aspired to be in their deliverer, we read of in the Acts of the Apostles. And we find that he was a little perhaps eager too soon in his experience to be that person. And he presumed that he could play that role, maybe because of who he was, how he had been schooled, but maybe God was just teaching him a lesson that it's not only down to the secular training and influences that may play in upon us that equips us to be the leaders of God's people. Moses would have had the best of education in the household of Pharaoh. His intelligence would have been acute, and doubtless he will have been trained for leadership. But that is very different from leading the people of God. And so whilst he may have felt himself equipped by his secular upbringing to be that deliverer, God had a deal of education to work into him. And we find that maybe that was brought to him through the 40 years experience that he had of keeping the flocks of his father-in-law in the wilderness. So interesting, he was very willing at age 40 to be that deliverer, but God was really saying that he wasn't ready to be that deliverer. And strangely, at age 80, he wasn't just as willing to leave his circumstances and go back down to be the deliverer of God's people. So he's an interesting character, really. He had an eagerness, but his eagerness didn't equip him to be that leader. He needed experience as well. And again, you know, Paul's advice right into Timothy backs that up, doesn't it? You know, he says, it's not for a novice. And so he might have been an educated man, and he undoubtedly was, as a 40-year-old man, having been brought up in the household of Pharaoh. Whilst he was educated, he was missing those aspects of experience that God would have built into him so as he could become that more rounded leader of the people of God. It would be fatal for a leader to be functioning in the power of his flesh, his native natural qualities. There needs to be other facets to the character, not just those which are the impulses of our maybe sinful nature. I judge that he had to come to learn that it wasn't by his own strength, not by his own might or his own power, but it would be by the assistance of the Spirit of God that he would become that effective leader. And I like the position that he came to when we read of him in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. He wasn't relying on those qualities that perhaps he was relying on when he was age 40. And he rather saw in himself his shortcomings. For instance, he'll say there, when fumbling about for some excuses why not to go, he says, "I cannot speak." Well, we know elsewhere in the Word of God that he's commended for his eloquence. But I rather think that there's something commendable about his reservation in a certain sense, in that he's not relying on his own strength. And Paul, again, we're bringing in Paul regularly to endorse the behavior of Moses. Paul will say a very similar thing. You know, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Well, that seems a contradiction in terms, but that's the kind of place God wants a man to be at if he can be deployed beneficially as a leader of his people. Not going in his own strength, but owning his weakness. And when owning our weakness, we lean more dependently upon our God. And that's essential for a leader.
So what we're gaining from these introductory comments is that leadership is a good thing to desire. However, it is a very easy thing to get wrong, and we can move outside and we can even stay inside the biblical setting, and we can see good and bad leaders. And it might be fair to say that, particularly in the Old Testament, and you look at the history of Israel, there were a lot of bad leaders. But one of the key things for leadership is that a good leader readily acknowledges and accepts their weakness.
Absolutely. And in owning that weakness, where do we find the requisite strength from? Well, we find it from our God who is our helper. And I think when we get to that place of realizing our inadequacy, but his facility, then we are ready to lead. And, you know, Moses comes out with words there at the burning bush that betray he was at that place now, ready to step into the role. For instance, he'll say in chapter 3 of Exodus there, "Who am I?" And he's maybe underplaying who he actually was, because he was a character of some note, having been brought up in Pharaoh's household. But that attitude, when sincere in a person, is a healthy attitude. Who am I? In light of the role that God would have us to play, and the responsibility that comes with that role, who is sufficient for these things? And so to own that we are in ourselves inadequate is a good starting point from which to step forward in leading the people of God. Humility is a good trait in a leader. We kind of, in our thought, jumping on to the end of our list of leaders, as you referred to them, and the prime example that we'll consider before the recordings are ended is the person of our Savior. Flip that thought over. Ego should not be present in a leader. The person shouldn't be leading simply to serve their ego. That's fatal. Being a leader is a service. We'll think of this when we think of the person of Christ. And he was worthy of acknowledgement. But he was among men and women as one who served. And so is the role of a leader. It's a servant in the economy of God. And a prominent ego in a person is detrimental to the well-being of the company. Peter will speak about that when he'll speak about overseership. And he'll speak about the danger of being lords over God's heritage. Rather, we should be ensamples to the flock. And so when he says, "Who am I?" that's a good character trait of humility coming out.
The Moses of 40 years, it was very different, it seems, to the Moses of 80 years old. What was it about those 40 years that changed him?
Yeah, I guess he grew up a lot in that 40 years. I dare say in the household of Pharaoh, he had a very privileged upbringing. And likely, as far as the standards of the day allowed, it was probably a very pampered upbringing. When out in the Sinai desert, following after the flocks of his father-in-law, I dare say life was a little more harsh. And he maybe learned some lessons there that he would never have picked up in the household of Pharaoh. He became a family man. He was married now, and he had the responsibility of that. He had a job of work to do on behalf of his employer. All of these things built aspects into him that he would never have picked up in the household of Pharaoh. And so those 40 years were essential to the filling out of his character to be that leader that God would have him to be.
It seems that there is a significance to the quiet place, that wilderness period of 40 years for Moses. No doubt we'll muse upon it with David at some point, but David himself also, he would care after the flock before he defeated Goliath. And it seems that these things were an opportunity for humility to develop, and then also for them to learn about God. Even the Lord, one of the first things that we'll read about him in the New Testament is that time where he was in the wilderness. And obviously that's different because the Lord didn't need to become anything that he wasn't as far as his character goes, but it was a proving period. It was a statement in itself. And so there seems to be significance in these quiet times, this wilderness period.
I think that is true, and you can trace that through a number of characters in Scripture. Paul, Saul, after his conversion, spent a period of time in solitude in the desert place. And it does seem to be that there was a learning experience that was going on when the distractions of their world was removed from them, or they were removed from those distractions. And maybe there's a lesson for us there as well, Joel. In our day, the world is a very distracting place. And maybe we need to get into the solitude of being away from those distractions to then contemplate and meditate. And I dare say, in all of these examples that you've referred to, and you could speak of Elijah, etc., and others who spent times in solitude, that was a learning period for them.
Considering then what we've just discussed, what advice or encouragement would you have for the young man, for example, who is desiring to occupy a position of leadership in the future?
Two things I would suggest initially, Joel. There are probably many things that need to be considered, but the two things that I would focus in upon in the light of our conversation relative to Moses' experience would be an understanding of their God. Again, he wouldn't have been schooled in an understanding of his God in Pharaoh's household, but in the wilderness place, as David was in due course, being amazed at God's creation enveloping them, their minds must have contemplated the Almighty. And so an understanding, a contemplation of who God is would be essential. But also, I think, an understanding of who we are as well. And, you know, that life's experience that builds up our appreciation of our weaknesses, of our strengths, I think that is essential for a leader as well. To understand God, and to have an understanding of themselves and what are their susceptibilities, what are their frailties that perhaps they need to be aware of and safeguard against in order that they aren't found out in the position of responsibility. So understanding God, understanding ourselves, I would suggest.
The turning point for Moses was the burning bush. So perhaps you can just tell us exactly what happened there.
This was a direct intervention of God in the man's experience. Life had been rolling on as a shepherd of flocks and would have rolled on for the rest of his days, quite possibly. But there was a divine intervention in a miraculous way, and it caught his attention. Moses could not deny but that it was divine intervention. And God spoke to him out of that bush that was not quenched in the flame with which it was burning. And Moses came to appreciate that it was divine intervention for a specific purpose, and it was a communication directed to him. I guess that would have been a very humbling thing, to think that God took time out of his management of the universe to speak to him, and he couldn't have denied that must have been of some import to God to do just that. And I guess in certain circumstances in life, we've had similar things where in life's situation, we have really been convinced of the fact God addressed me at that point in time, in that situation. That's a very difficult thing to step away from. And I think Moses was finding that there at the burning bush. He did try to wriggle off the hook. And he came up with a number of excuses. They won't believe me, you know, and all these kinds of things. I tried that 40 years ago and they didn't accept me. And so he's trying to put up all these arguments of why he shouldn't now go. So he was a little reluctant, I would say. But God was not having him escape his grasp, for this was that time. And God answered each of his objections to going down to Pharaoh to declare, "Let my people go." God would not let him wriggle off that hook. And so he answers in a way that would give him confidence. One of the things Moses said was, "What shall I say?" And then he says in chapter 4, "I'm not eloquent." Well, that was faux humility in some senses. He was very eloquent, but he was rather reluctant. Well, God wouldn't allow him to get away with that as an excuse for not going. God says, "I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say." That experience was defining for Moses, and I think when he appreciated that God had taken time out to intervene specifically for him, that would have been humbling for him, that would have been compelling, which led him then to become the great leader that he did. God intervened and empowered me from that moment.
So it's not that when desiring to be a leader or even at the point of becoming a leader, you have to have everything figured out, but rather instead it is there is an element of dependency on God.
Absolutely. We need God's assistance to fulfill the role of being an overseer, being an elder, being that leader. We need the power of the Spirit of God if that is to be for the well-being of the flock.
I think that a sight of God, a fresh revelation of God, speaks to great depth. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he went on to say, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And so it is a very humbling thing to have that fresh sight of God. Perhaps the final point that we'll discuss in this episode, which intrigues me greatly, you've put here in our notes that the Lord uses our past experiences for his good. Perhaps you can just expand on that.
Yeah, I've mentioned a number of times he wasn't equipped at age 40 to be the leader. But that doesn't mean to say that what he had learned by that age was of no use to God. That was of use to God. But it needed to be supplemented by the other things that he learned in that wilderness experience, coming to understand his God, coming to understand himself. But God could still use what had been taught him in the education system of the household of Pharaoh. And so we aren't to discount the benefits that can come from a secular education or the development of a career in our work life. Those things can be deployed by God, but supplemented by spiritual awareness and empowerment of the Spirit of God and brought into the realm of the assembly of God's people. And so God, all experience in a certain sense can be used for good. Even experiences that we might care not to have had, when we reflect back upon them, I'm sure we can all say, well, actually, that was teaching me something in that adversity. And so there is, perhaps, in an absolute sense, no useless experience. All experience can have something of benefit for us in molding us and shaping us and equipping us to be who God would have us be. I think we probably will experience that more when we come to view David.
On which note, thank you very much, Jeremy, for your help as we have considered the call of a leader. There are plenty of resources available on the Understanding the Gospel website that address some of the themes discussed in this episode. Hopefully you can join us next time when we consider the character of a leader. Thank you very much.